Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Tuesday, October the 20th of 2020. And I'm your host for this evening, as usual, the Miracle Man. And I'm so glad that you've decided to tune in tonight, that you made the determination to tune in to the Miracle Man Show broadcast and to ready to learn more from the Word of the Lord tonight, as we're going to get into the Word of the Lord in a bit tonight, as we normally do. Here, each and every night of the Miracle Man Show, we normally get into the Word for a bit. And, of course, here we believe that the Word of God is a sure and strong foundation. We strongly believe that here. That's why we put such an emphasis on the Word of God here. So we don't just do it, you know. We believe that the Word of God is the greatest foundation. And we truly believe that. We don't just say it. For something to say or something to read. No. We don't do that here. But pray that you're ready to receive, that you've come expecting God to do something in your life. Amen. So it's going to be a good night tonight. And then later on, towards the end, I will preview what I expect for Michigan and Michigan State to do in football this season, because the Big Ten is starting back up on Saturday. Unfortunately, I was very sad when I saw this. Mayors want even more protocols. And they want even more stringent rules based on, like, case positivity rates. And the way I see it, listeners, to be honest, who even cares what the case positivity rate is? I mean, I don't understand what the big deal about case positivity rate is, to be honest with you. I mean, we know so much more about it than what we did in, like, March. So it's like, really? Should be more so hospitalizations and deaths, not just cases or what have you. Yeah, so enough on that. Now, we'll be talking about the Big Ten, about Michigan, Michigan State in regards to the Big Ten later on in the evening. And then tomorrow night, we will have our big predictions based on the immediate upcoming weekend's games. I have a Midland Dow game to pick, a Michigan game, a Michigan State game, a Lions game, and a couple other NFL games while we're at it. Here on our Football Central prediction Wednesday night. Now, couple of bulletins. One bulletin is I want to remind you all to go online to riversofmiracles.com. All one word, riversofmiracles.com. River, like the river, like the Mississippi River, the Missouri River. Not my name, like Rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, but Rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, of miracles.com. To check out the information about that we wrote about me, about the first 30 years of my life. You know, a God who, you know, my mother believed in, a God that I believe in, of course, and the miracle working power, all the different miracles that he's done in me, that he's done in our family. And the book's a great read. You can order that book online. Praise God. And I really want you to read it. It's a really good book. Also, you can go online. If you love what the Miracle Man Show has done in your life, you can go to riversshukla@gmail.com, riversshukla@gmail.com, in order to donate. And everything you donate will go into the ministry. Amen. And then another thing I wanted to bring to your attention is a week from tomorrow, I'll be heading out of state to visit my brother for a few days. That being said, on Wednesday of next week, listeners, it is possible that I may not be doing a show. I will be doing one, though, on Monday and Tuesday prior. But maybe not Wednesday. But I will be on Monday, Tuesday prior. All right. So, couple of things also want to bring to your attention is 14 days left before Election Day. So literally 2 weeks from today is Election Day. And my prayer is that you've been researching the candidates like I've been telling you to, and looking for what the platforms stand for. And think about, like what I said last night, listeners, don't just go based on the person or the person's personality. Well, I don't like the way he tweets. I don't like the way he la 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 or blah 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 blah, blah, blah. Well, that kind of, no, think about the platform. What has this person done? What are they for? Are they for the Bible? Or are they against it? And this is the kind of stuff you have to think about when you're making your determination on who you're going to vote for. And you need to take some time on it every day now to pray over America and to believe God. So you just have to pray and believe God and all that the right people get in there. And obviously, as Christians, we have to vote. It's really important that we get out there as Christians, that we all get out there and vote and make our vote count. And we have to pray over the election and believe God that the plans of the enemy would be exposed. I believe God that they will not rig the election and that it will be a good, fair, and square election. And we have to pray and just believe God that the Lord will just have his way in the election. As the Christians will go out there and vote, as it is, in fact, our Christian responsibility. And don't just vote president. You got to vote up and down the ballot. And research your candidates so that you know how to vote and which way to vote. And believe it or not, listeners, you will give an account before God on Judgment Day for how you voted. You will. And for those of you who think, oh, it's not a big deal, really, is it? Yes, it is a big deal. And yes, you will give an account before God. And I'm not just saying that, like, for something to say. No. Or as I've heard it said before, Nua. So, going to be dependent on you, the Christians, on us, the Christians. And don't focus on what these polls say. There are fake polls out there. And they will use these certain polls to try to keep the Christians, the evangelicals, from going out there and voting. And so that's why, as Christians, we have to vote and have a good record high turnout. In 2018, only like 26% of Christians went and voted. Yeah. I've heard some of the listeners that. Whereas in 2016, on the other hand, it was like over 90%. Over, and to think, so to think, listeners, that we don't have, we can't determine an election, listeners. The truth of the matter is, that's why, listeners, that this is so important, that we, the body of Christ, the American church, that we get out there and we vote. And we vote, you know, Bible. Don't just vote, you know, don't just vote based on your pocketbook. And by the way, just because you don't think that the person who's in there now didn't handle the pandemic the right way doesn't necessarily mean oh, and furthermore, listeners, it's not a pandemic, it's a plandemic. In fact, listeners, I've came up with something even better in the last couple months. This whole thing is a dem panic. The dem panic. Because the dems are panicking. Because they're afraid. They are. And Christians got to get out there and, you know, vote. I think about that verse in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, where it says, where the Lord said, if my people, whom are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, they would seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I would hear from heaven, forgive them of their sins, and I would heal their land. Amen. So, of course, part of the humbling themselves, seeking his face, you know, turning from our wicked ways. That, of course, means, like, you know, if you didn't vote right in the past, now's the chance to make it right. Because we don't vote the right way this time, who knows, we might not get another chance to make it right. So that's why this is so important. This is the most important of election. This is the most important of election of our lifetime right now. So don't squander your vote. Because right now, the choices can't be clearer. I mean, how much easier can they make? Can it be made? I mean, this is an easy choice. It really is. So, got to make it count. Amen. We got to make it count. Also, real quick, we want to let you know a couple of quick things in related to, of course, the homework assignments. Number one, daily, read Psalm 23 daily out loud to your family. Number two, read Psalm 91 out loud. Number three, every day at noon, take authority and curse COVID and Ovid and Rovid. So funny, my pastor the other day, he was just He was talking about, he was being kind of, you know, he was being serious about something, and then he said COVID and Dovid and Rovid. That's kind of funny, actually, isn't it? Because he tried to come up with words that rhymed with COVID. And it was pretty funny, actually. But yeah, every day at noon, you take authority and you curse the virus. Everything behind it. And just take authority over that thing. And bless the name of the Lord. And then number four, every day, you pray over the election. And pray over America. Pray over our president. Pray that God is with him. That God protects him. Amen. And we know that the prayer of the saints, the prayers of the saints, make a big difference. And we know that around here. We know that. They really do make a difference. They really do. So those are your four homework assignments. And, of course, they're ongoing right now. We're going to sing a couple songs, and then we are going to go to the book of Matthew, and then we'll study the word of the Lord together. Thank you, Jesus. You hold my every moment. You calm my raging sea. You walk with me through fire and heal my disease. And I trust in you. I trust in you, Lord. I believe you're my healer. I believe you are all I need. I believe you're my portion. I believe you're more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I need. Oh, you hold my every moment. You calm my raging sea. You walk with me through fire. And you heal all my disease. I trust in you, I trust in you, Lord, and I believe you're my healer. I believe you are all I need. I believe. And I believe you're my portion. And I believe you're more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I need. Nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible for you. You hold my world in your hands. Nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible for you. You hold my world in your hand. I believe you're my healer. I believe you are all I need. Oh, I believe, Lord, and I believe you're my portion, and I believe you're more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I need. You're more than enough for me. Oh, thank you, Lord. You're my healer. He's awakening a hope in me by calling forth my destiny. He's breathing life into my soul. I will thirst for him and him alone. He has come like the rain showers on a barren plain. So my heart and tongue confess Jesus Christ, hope of men. My hope is in you, God. I am steadfast, I will not be moved. My anchor never shaken, all my hope is in you. He's awakening a hope in me by calling forth my destiny. He's breathing life into my soul. I will thirst for him and him alone. He has come like the rain showers on a barren plain. So my heart and tongue confess Jesus Christ, hope of man. My hope is in you, God. I am steadfast, I will not be moved. My anchor never shaken, all my hope is in you. He's bringing hope to the hopeless, sharing his heart with the broken, sharing his home with the orphan. He is the joy, He is my joy. His is onward declaring. His is ever embracing. He is the song we're declaring. He is the joy. He is my joy. He's bringing hope to the hopeless. Sharing his heart with the broken. Sharing his home with the orphan. He is my joy. He is my joy. He is the hopeless. Sharing his heart with the broken. He is the song we're declaring. He is the joy. He is my joy. Hope arise. Let 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 hope arise. My hope is in you, God. I am steadfast. I will not be moved. My anchor never shaken. All my hope is in you. When my hope is in you, God, I am steadfast. I will not be moved. I'm anchored. Never shaken, all my hope is in you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, tonight. We thank you for this time tonight. We thank you for all these listeners who have made the determination to tune in to this program tonight. We thank you that your hand is upon us, that your hand strengthens us, that you go before us and you hem us in. You're fighting for us. You're pushing back the darkness. You're lighting up your kingdom, Lord God, that cannot be shaken. And I thank you, Lord God, that as we study your word tonight, that you would reveal yourself in greater and greater. You'd reveal yourself stronger and stronger to each of us. And I just thank you for this time in your word, that you reveal yourself to us in a greater and greater facet beyond what we could imagine. And I just thank you, Lord, that you just strengthen us tonight and that you meet our needs tonight and that you are the one. You do give hope to the hopeless and that you are the hope that we have. And I say, and Lord, I make my confession over this program tonight. I say that sponsors and partners come into this program, that increases in listenership come into this program. I thank you that sponsors, finances come in, and most importantly, Lord Jesus, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming in to the kingdom of God as a result of this great radio program in Jesus' matchless name. Amen. Let's make our confession. Because we believe we can have the fruit of our lips. This is my Bible. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. And I am what it says I am. And then we also have, of course, and then this book is more than a history book to me. It's more than a story book to me. Tonight, I do believe that I will receive absolutely everything that God has for me tonight. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Turn with me, please, to the book of Matthew chapter 13. We're going to be talking tonight about the parable of the wheat and the tares. But first we're going to deal with the sower who goes out to sow. So we're going to be talking a bit about both of these stories tonight. Matthew 13, NIV. And I want to encourage you to just, you know, stay with us now. Don't go to sleep. And now I am there. I'm going to begin with verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house, and he sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. And then he told them many things, turning the page, from parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. But the birds of the air came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, plants were scorched, and they withered because they didn't have any root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and they choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, which it produced a crop. 30, 60, or 100 times what was sown. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." The disciples came to him and they asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you. It's been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has will be taken away from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For the people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears. They've closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I will heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Yes. For I tell you the truth. Many prophets and righteous men long to see what you see, but they didn't see it. And to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When someone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one, the devil, comes and he snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown among the paths. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble of persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word. But the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth, they choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 30 times, 60 times, or even 100 times what was sown. Verse 24 now. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the tares also appeared. The owner's servant came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where did the tares come from?" "An enemy has done this," he replied. The servant asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the tares and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn." Verse 31. And he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants, and it becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and they perch in its branches. And he told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast, which a woman took and mixed it into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. And Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd without using a parable. And so which was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet: "I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world." Now, this is where Jesus explains the parable of the wheat and the tares. Verse 36. Then he left the crowd, and he went into the house. His disciples came to him, and they said, "Explain to us the parable of the tares in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the word. The good seed, the sons of the kingdom. The weeds, the tares, are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, the last days. And the harvesters are the angels. As the weeds are filled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Verse 44. "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went and he sold all he had and he bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and he sold everything he had. He bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and they collected the good fish in baskets, but they threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and will separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things?" Jesus asked. "Yes," they replied. He said to them, "Therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as the old." And then this will be the last passage of the chapter. Verse 53. When Jesus had finished these parables, he moved on from there. Coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. "Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous signs?" they asked. "Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters here with us?" When they did this man all these things, and they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, "Only in his hometown and in his home house is a prophet without honor. And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. All right. We're backing it up. We're going to back it up to the start of the chapter. So, the first parable that Jesus talks about in this chapter is the chapter is the one where the sower goes out to seed, to sow seed. And first Jesus talks about the about that person who when he sowed the seed, some seed fell along the path. And if you're a farmer, you know you don't just put seed down along the path. The birds will come and eat it up. Like that person who has absolutely no foundation at all. At that point, this is that person who has not even understood the word of God yet. They don't understand it yet. This person is like a wah-wah baby Christian. Maybe he's been given, hasn't been given enough water and milk yet. He's been given too much meat. Without being first given, like, you know, the milk of the word. The second person is that person who receives the word with joy, but they don't have any foundation yet. So when persecution or trial comes because of the word of God, they fall away. They can't handle the persecution. They fall away. And then the third person is the one who maybe has some root, but the worries of the life, the desires for riches, they choke the word. That makes the word unfruitful. Unfruitful. Makes the word unfruitful in that person's life. The word unfruitful in that person's life. And then the one who sows the seed into the good ground, that's the person who hears the word. He hears the word, receives it with gladness, produces a crop, yielding 30 times, 60 times, even 100 times what was sown. Now the devil wants to steal the word, you know, during the service, after the service, even before the service, like when you go to church. And he wants to just make you choke on the word. Of course, the devil doesn't want the word to be fruitful in your life. You have good foundation. And you put the word of God into practice. And then Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear it." Let him hear it. Let him hear the word of God. Amen. Let him hear it. Let's talk about this wheat and tares. So Jesus tells another parable. You know, and he talks about how the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sows good seed in the seed field. And then the guy goes to look at his field. And here's what he finds. You know, there's wheat in this field. But then there's tares, weeds, growing in that field as well. And in the parable, the guy goes to him and says, "Sir, didn't you plant good seed in your field? Didn't you plant good seed?" And he says, "Yes." And he's been like, "Where did the weeds come from? Where did the tares come from? An enemy did this," is what the man says. And then Jesus has to explain to the disciples what this means, just like the previous one. So Jesus tells them, "Disciples, I didn't understand something. You know the wheat. You know the wheat is like the good ones, but then the devil tried to sow the bad ones, the tares, in that field." And then Jesus says, you know, in the last days, what will happen, which we are in right now, in the last days, Jesus tells, in the parable, he tells those other people this, don't pull the wheat, don't just go pull the tares out, because when you go to pull the tares out, you might gather wheat too. So he said, nope, let both, we're going to have to both grow. And then in the harvest, sift the weeds out, then gather the wheat into my barn. And throw the weeds outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Which basically means hellfire. Now, let me explain something. As we were entering this whole COVID thing, I might have told you a story about, a preacher saw something, and Dr. Brown had seen something in his spirit. And so he talks to his preacher, he calls him, and he says, how's it going? And he's like, it doesn't look too good here in Australia. The stores are empty of things. Looks like the end of days. And then Rodney Brown's like, basically same thing in America. And then he's like, then God shows him something. Rodney, the end is not yet. Bich said, yes, the end is very close, but the end is not yet. Then he said, I'm sifting my people. I'm preparing my bride. I'm getting my bride ready. I'm getting my church ready. And Jesus said, I'm not coming for a broken down church. I'm not coming for a church that's not ready for me, for a sinful church, a dirty church, a weak church, a fearful church. No. I'm coming for a triumphant church, a glorious church, one without any, one without wrinkles, blot, blemish, hey, or any such thing. I'm coming for a church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. Not for a church with all those other things. I'm coming for a church without spot, wrinkle, and blemish. So you see, right now, what I think is going to happen is God is sifting his people. He is separating the wheat from the weeds. The wheat would be like the people who do everything. You know, they're faithful. They go to church. Not just when it's convenient. The weeds are the ones who, like, maybe they go whenever it's convenient. They gossip. They talebear. They talk against their pastor. They talk against the church. They got one foot in the world, one foot in the church. And they do all these other things that as Christians we should not be doing. And Christians, this isn't the time to be playing around. No, it's not the time to be playing around. We're in the last of the last days. You got to make your spiritual walk of yours more severe than you ever have before. Have to. You need to make sure that other people know about Jesus. Because the only thing that can go with you to heaven The only thing that can go with you to heaven, listeners, the only thing that can go with you to heaven is people, 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 people. Your mosque will not go with you to heaven. By the way, it doesn't matter what your mosque says. Won't be going with you to heaven. You won't go there. But you want to know what will go there with you is people will be going with you to heaven. And every one of us should take someone with us to heaven. It's really important to God. And if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, this would be a great time to give your life. This would be a perfect time to give your life to Jesus Christ of Nazareth. This would be a great time to give your life to Jesus. You know, if you don't know him as your Lord and Savior. Because, like I said, time is short. And right now, the day we live in, you know, who knows? When it'll come. But obviously I can help you. Give your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can call 989-495-1028 or 989-708-9853 and we can help you. Give your life to Jesus. Because, of course, today is the day of salvation. And the greatest miracle Jesus ever did, the greatest miracle in your Bible is the miracle of salvation. Nothing against miracles. Nothing against healing at all. And the miracles of healing, fantastic. But the miracle of salvation is still the greatest miracle. But he didn't mean it like as a way to put down the miracle of healing. Because the miracle of healing is still very much an amazing thing. It really is. And he didn't mean it like as a way to try to put down healing, like and say, you know, downplay it and say it's not important, because the truth is that healing is very much important. Of a miracle. It really is an important miracle. And we should see it as such. We really should. We really should see it as just as an amazing thing that God did for us in our lives. And so, obviously you want to make sure that you're in the right place with God, because, like I said, time is getting short and you want to make sure that you are where God wants you to be with him. That you're not just, you know, but make sure that you're in a place where God wants you. Not necessarily just, you know, a place where you want you to be. Amen. And so, you know, you want to be in that place where God can use you. You want to be a vessel of honor, not a vessel of dishonor. Because a vessel of dishonor, not a good thing. Not something you want to be. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word tonight. I thank you, Lord God, that you would bless us, and that you are separating the wheat from the tares. And I pray, Lord God, that those of us listening to you, Lord, right now tonight, I pray that we are not tares. I pray that I'm not a tare, a weed. I pray that I am a wheat in your sight. a wheat, not a weed, but a wheat. And I just thank you, Lord God, that we would check ourselves and that we would find out where we are with you and that we would just be everything that you've called us to be and that we would fulfill everything that you have for us tonight and in our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. 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 Now, for college football, the Big Ten is starting out the season on this weekend. Friday, Wisconsin and Illinois will start. Saturday, the rest of the Big Ten, including Michigan versus Minnesota, and then Michigan State versus, I don't know who they're playing, but including Michigan, Michigan State, that team to the south, Indiana, among others, will start play on Saturday, October 24th. They had agreed to this start date back in near the end of September, after the SEC had decided that they would start in September, and the Big 12 had started in September, and all these other leagues that made determinations to start in September and October. I think in the pros, not at the high and at the high school level, it was in most cases discovered that spring football would not be as feasible as what was thought. And I think part of that had to do with scouting. Another part of that had to do with, you know, the draft for college players and other logistical challenges just made it apparent that spring football wouldn't be as easy done as what was thought could be done. That's why, like the MHSAA, backed away from spring football. And they said that they were not doing it. That's why you're not having spring football this year. Why instead we had fall. I think it was a good thing to have it in the fall instead, because I think spring football would have been a little bit odd. I honestly believe that. So, about the Big Ten, Michigan starts with Minnesota, and then they will be playing some point they're playing that team to the south. Also play Michigan State, Indiana, Illinois, and a couple of others. And then Michigan State, I don't know who all they'll be playing. I believe they'll be playing Michigan, probably that team to the south, probably Indiana, maybe Northwestern. But Michigan State has kind of a young team, a team that isn't quite the greatest team this year. And they figuring out some things as a team. Michigan, like they've been the last few years, they have the potential to be good, but not like the best in the Big Ten by any stretch of imagination. That being said, I think Michigan will probably be like 5-2, 5-3. State will be probably like 4-4. I think you'll see that state to the south probably win the Big Ten East again and again and again and again, like they have been lately. Unless maybe Penn State takes them down. So we'll have to just wait and see what happens. Obviously, the college football playoff, who knows what will even happen with that thing. So whether or not it'll even be played or not, we'll just have to wait and see. But like I said about spring football, part of why I don't, I think the biggest reason it didn't happen was a lot of logistical things that would have made it challenging, both for high school athletes and for college athletes, particularly when it became pretty apparent that the NFL was going to basically go with its planned schedule, which meant basically no delay in the start of the season. We're going to start it basically on the planned date, September, and we're just going to play as many of these games as possible. And most of the games have ended up being played. And so, I think it had a lot to do with logistics. And I think they had good intentions, maybe for why they delayed the start, but then they discovered with logistics and that it wouldn't be as easy as they thought to delay it until the spring, which is why they decided to play in the fall, albeit a bit later of a start and a shorter season. Of course, as I told you earlier, tomorrow night I will be here with my big Midland versus Dow prediction. I will also have my prediction for the first Michigan game, the first Michigan State game, a Lions game, and a couple of other NFL games that I will be picking. I have still to determine which NFL games those will be, other than the Lions game. All right. Until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.